Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and State PC's preparation. A significant judgment has been passed by the Supreme Court, one that has sparked a crucial debate about the scope of the Scheduled Castes and Scheduled Tribes Prevention of Atrocities Act, 1989. The court has held that insulting or intimidating a member of a scheduled caste or scheduled tribe inside a private dwelling, away from public access and the public gaze, does not constitute an offence under Sections 3(1)(r) and 3(1)(s) of the Act. This judgment was passed in the case of Gunjan at Girija Kumari v. State, NCT of Delhi, where the court quashed FIR charges arising from a 2021 family property dispute. To understand the implications of this judgment, let us first look at what the Act says. Section 3(1)(r) of the SC Cent, Prevention of Atrocities, Act, 1989, states that intentionally insulting or intimidating with intent to humiliate a member of a scheduled caste or a scheduled tribe in any place within public view is an offence. Similarly, Section 3(1)(s) states that abusing any member of a scheduled caste or a scheduled tribe by caste name in any place within public view is also an offence. Both provisions hinge on the statutory phrase, place within public view. The court's reading of this phrase is crucial. According to the court, a private house, with no public access during the incident, does not qualify as a place within public view. The phrase requires that the act be witnessable by the public or independent passers-by. This interpretation is in line with the principle established in Hitesh Verma v. State of Uttarakhand, 2020, where the Supreme Court had said that insults inside the four walls of a house, where no member of the public was present, fall outside the Act. The logic behind this judgment is that the Atrocities Act protects against publicly visible humiliation, which carries a special social stigma. Private quarrel insults, while morally wrong and possibly punishable under ordinary criminal law, do not produce the public humiliation harm that the statute targets. This distinction is important as it highlights the specific purpose of the Act and the kind of harm it seeks to prevent. Now, let us look at the statutory architecture and earlier judicial trails that have shaped the court's interpretation. The SC Cent, Prevention of Atrocities, Act, 1989, has undergone several amendments, including the 2015 amendment that widened the Act scope and the 2018 amendment that inserted Section 18 of which bars preliminary inquiry and restores the absolute bar on anticipatory bail. Earlier judgments, such as Swaran Singh v. State, 2008, Hitesh Verma v. State of Uttarakhand, 2020, Subhash Kashinath Mahajan v. State of Maharashtra, 2018, and Prithvi Raj Chauhan v. UOI, 2020, have also contributed to the evolution of the court's interpretation. The Gunjan at Girija Kumari judgment consolidates the Hitesh Verma principle in a property dispute fact pattern, reiterating that private quarrel insults inside a house do not attract the Act. This reading is defensible, as the text of Sections 3(1)(r) and (s) expressly uses the limit in any place within public view. A purposive reading of humiliation requires public visibility, and private insult is not the harm the statute targets. Other offences, such as IPC BNS provisions on criminal intimidation, hurt to religious feelings, and harassment, remain available for non-public insults. However, critics may raise concerns that domestic helpers and tenants, who often face caste insults inside the houses of their employers, may find the Act unavailable. The distinction between public access and private access can mask the systemic dimension of caste humiliation. The 2015 amendment had widened the Act precisely because of underprotection, and this judicial reading may narrow it again. In light of these concerns, Parliament could consider amending the Act to clarify whether the public view qualifier should apply uniformly or be relaxed in employer-employee-tenant-landlord settings. This would help address the potential gaps in protection and ensure that the Act remains effective in preventing atrocities against scheduled castes and scheduled tribes. Now, let us turn to the UPSC relevance of this topic. This judgment connects to your preparation for GS Paper 2, Polity and Governance, as it involves fundamental rights, welfare legislation for SC cent, statutory interpretation by the Supreme Court, and vulnerable sections of society. It also relates to GS Paper 4, Ethics, as it touches on the ethics of public versus private wrongs, equality, and dignity. For your mains preparation, you can consider the following angles. The Supreme Court has narrowed the protective scope of the SC cent, Prevention of Atrocities, Act, 1989, through the public view test, critically evaluate this development. Is the abolition of untouchability under Article 17 fully realized through statutory law alone? Discuss with reference to recent jurisprudence. Distinguish between criminal humiliation in public versus private space, should the law treat them identically? Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The SC cent, Prevention of Atrocities, Act, 1989, was enacted under Article 17 and provides for special courts, special public prosecutors, and enhanced penalties. The Act has undergone key amendments, including the 2015 amendment that introduced new categories of atrocities and the 2018 amendment that inserted Section 18A. Article 17 abolishes untouchability and is one of the rare fundamental rights enforceable horizontally against private persons. Article 15, 2, bars discrimination in access to public places. The National Commission for SCs, established under Article 338, and the National Commission for STs, established under Article 338, to monitor the implementation of the Act. With this judgment, the Supreme Court has underscored the importance of public visibility in determining the applicability of the SC cent, Prevention of Atrocities, Act, 1989. As you prepare for your UPSC exams, remember to consider the nuances of statutory interpretation and the complexities of social justice. The intersection of law, society, and individual rights is a critical area of study, and this judgment highlights the ongoing efforts to balance these competing interests.